Oh, I remember that. Oh, that was priceless. He tried to kick a door open at school.
And yeah, he kicked the door, and his foot slipped and went knee into the door.
My knee!
Welcome to the Milk and Meat Podcast. I'm Andrew, and I have my brothers with me.
Carlos.
Aldo.
And this is actually a 2024 kickoff episode, where we're going to just discuss what we've been through to conclude the year, and what we're planning to get into, our focuses, where we stand, and some of the plans we have for this coming year. So, Aldo.
Yeah. One of the things that comes to mind, and something I think we've been tackling, especially like towards the end of last year, was, you know, I don't know if debunking is the right word, but doing our own little reaction to videos about false doctrine. And I think that's something that we should definitely keep on going towards, keep on you know, bringing up the issues, and not necessarily just reacting to videos, although it gives us a lot of good material to study on, and then to appropriately correct and point out the false doctrines, but just false doctrine in general. I think we've said it before in other episodes, in other podcasts, that the Bible, especially in the New Testament, makes a very clear distinction on what false doctrine is, and that we need to point it out, and that we need to address it and warn people about these false teachers, false preachers. And as we know, there's just many, many, many false teachers out there today. I mean, aside from like the Kenneth Copelands and the Joel Osteens, there's some that you just, you know, that have no names, but are getting a big following, a big gathering. And it's like, it's so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you don't pay too much attention. You don't mind it so much, because it's like, oh, well, you know, it's only a few hundred people. You know, he's not a big name, but before you know it, they become a Michael Todd.
Yeah.
And they got millions of people on their channels, or they got thousands of people in their churches.
Yeah, book deals and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's something, for at least for me, what I would like for us to continue doing is just going through false teachers, false preachers, and false doctrines in general. I know we tackled a little bit on the Jehovah's Witness, like, is Jesus God? I really enjoyed studying through that and getting to the heart of that issue. 'Cause again, those organizations, they started off just like any other false teacher, innocently enough, small group that slowly grew into millions.
Yeah.
So that's something that I look forward to for sure.
I think this past year, like you said, the reaction videos, but we also hit some major points. I mean, the last video that was recorded of last year, which was actually the first video point posted this year,
right,
was the homosexuality video. Oh, we have an essay in on that one. So the fact that we had an actual a friend of ours request that with those questions, that was really good. I appreciate that, because they're asking us so we can give our flavor of answer from the Bible. So I hope we can do more of that, maybe get into the different communities, get their specific questions for us. Work through that, because that means that one person at least is looking for an answer from us in that way. Because there's people that will hear our responses and they don't want those. So they're like, I don't want those answers. I don't want that topic covered. But then there's those that ask it. So I think it's really helpful.
I really appreciated too that your wife and my fiance Vanessa came on and were able to answer those questions based on their perspective. Because that's also another thing our friend requested. Mm-hmm. He would like to hear a woman's perspective on it. And I look forward to more stuff like that, having, you know, not just us come up here and give our, like, as you said, our flavor of answers, but having, you know, different people, even if we could somehow swing getting somebody who has a completely different opinion and having that kind of conversation.
It's hard to get someone like that because sometimes, well, at least from some of the circles we're aware of, they don't want to come.
Yeah.
And I've been happy to welcome. I'm like, dude, come
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
I know you're completely in disagreement with me. I'm in disagreement with you. Let's hash it out. Mm-hmm. And they just won't show up. So I don't really know how to get them on.
I guess just keep asking, you know, we'll keep asking to see, or if anybody that is listening right now wants to reach out, and if they have a certain disagreement about, you know, biblical doctrine or whatever, I'd say by all means, come on up.
Absolutely.
I think it's important to distinguish that, you know, when we're asking people to come on and just kind of have the conversations with us, I'm not trying to win you over. You know, I think that's the whole thing, is I'm not looking for a debate. I'm not looking for an argument of sorts, because that's one thing that was pointed out to me one time is, well, you just want to come and I don't want to talk because it's going to turn into an argument. And I think that that's the point, maybe if I can speak for all of us, that we're not trying to look for a debate. We're not trying to look for an argument, you know. We really just want to hash it out. We really just want to have that conversation. And if we're Christians and we belong to the body of Christ, we should be able to talk about these differences. We should be able to have a place where we can both talk. And, you know, if you don't want to come on the podcast, but you still want to talk, that's okay as well. I think it's important to have that open communication, because there are people who have questions. There are people who do wonder about these things, but they don't want to be associated with us.
Yeah.
And I understand that part. You know, I understand that where if you're found associating with people who have walked away from a specific organization that you still belong to, they might, you know, frown on you or look down on you or say you're being pulled astray. And obviously our intent is never to cause that friction in your life. You know, that's not who we are. We're here to pray for you. We're here to pray with you. We hope you'll pray for us and with us as well. Talk to us, talk with us, go through these issues. When I was being pulled here and there, finally understanding the scripture by the grace of God, I had conversations with Andrew and I had conversations with LJ, where I was like really going through these things and finally being able to understand. And I finally had to come to that decision, you know, where it's like, this is the truth and I have to stand by truth. Mm-hmm. You know, but if I have a point of view and the scripture has point of view, the scripture is always going to be right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always 100%. I'm going to have the wrong view if it's contrary to scripture. So that's just kind of a distinction that I would like to make. We're not here to call. We're not here to argue. We're not here to fight with you. We love you. We care about you the same that we love each other and care about each other. I think that's important. I really appreciate the work that was done last year. And I know, you know, schedules and all that stuff, sometimes we would. Yeah. I was bad at it, where I would cancel and Andrew would get mad at me and, you know, call me names. I'm just kidding. But it was, you know, this year I stepped into a different role at work, and it was pretty hard and stressful.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something good that happened, in my life, and it's really launching me into a different career that I never really thought I was going to be in, right, within the security world. But it also gives me free time, or it allows me time to spend a little more time studying scripture as well. Yeah. And that's honestly, like, I can't thank God enough for that.
Yeah. I think I've seen it in all of our lives. Just God, not only working in this ministry a bit, and you know, in our local churches, and how he's been working in our lives and our careers. I definitely see that, and it's like, it's no coincidence. We don't believe in coincidences, and it's just such a blessing and a privilege to be able to see that.
Yeah, I've definitely seen it in your life, you know, being able to visit New Mountain when you get to preach, being able to have witnessed your baptism this year, yeah. Beautiful work that the Lord is doing through your life, the testimonies that you tell us about, you know, talking to people, your family about the Lord, and just being able to talk about scripture. Andrew, the amount of books that you read, and always sending us, you sent me a book this year. Well, he sent Carnitas a book this year. My wife was like, who's Carnitas? I'm like, that's me. But what the Lord has been doing with you, yeah. I mean, in your personal life, in your spiritual life, it's what you went through this year at your local church, mm-hmm. you know, and now being at New Mountain, it just honestly, the way that I see it, like, I cannot glorify God enough, because he puts us in these situations where we have absolutely no idea, mm-hmm. like, why or what's going to come out of it. There's confusion sometimes. But then when everything pans out, we're like, oh,
wow, yeah,
that's what you were doing.
Yeah.
And
God puts it all into place.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we were just talking, and it's like, God is going to glorify himself through every situation, whatever way he decides to, regardless of how we feel about it, regardless if we're okay with it or not. He's not asking for our opinion in the decisions that he makes or the plans that he has. He's going to do it. And we are either going to glory in it or we're going to hate him for it. Yeah. And I know that we don't deserve it. I know that we should be farther away from him, but the fact that we can sit here and thank him for these things, when in the past I probably wouldn't, mm-hmm. you know, and now being able to understand this, it's like, man,
yeah,
what the Holy Spirit has done in our lives,
yeah,
is,
yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah,
it really is.
Just to list off the episodes we did in 2023, we had an examination of revival, because we had that whole
thing
earlier
the revival.
In the year. We did
was
solo.
That, was that in 2023?
Yeah.
The episodes were in 20, because it was in the beginning of the year, because that revival thing was happening like mid-March last year.
Yeah.
So that was wild. America went through something interesting there. We did solo las escrituras, first and second part. So that was good. We did like two Spanish episodes. That's all we did for the Spanish side of the ministry. We did biblical masculinity, touched on denominations, went through the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, talked about David K. Bernard's false teaching, talked about pursuing the pastorate, solo por la gracia, part one and two, touched on the Jehovah Witness doctrine, so like you were mentioning. Yeah. Well, no, it was a part one and two, so technically, sure, four. Roman Catholic Marian prayers.
Oh, yeah.
And prayers to the dead, and then we recorded What About Homosexuality, but posted it this year. We touched on, we had some polemical stuff, arguing against certain teachings, denominations, responses to certain questions. I just think, we had a pretty good sum, and once we cover these things, I feel like, now we're ready to touch other things. Just like 2 years ago, we did the whole biblical doctrine, like
attributes of God, salvation,
soteriology, salvation, sanctification. We really covered a pretty big green, like theophanies, and we touched on a lot 2 years ago, and then we went through these things this past year. So I'm excited to see where it goes in the next year, because we're trying to involve more people and more stuff in it.
Yeah.
But I just feel like we're getting a good breadth of topics and information that we're covering. So I think this last year we did that.
It was Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and I really appreciate the people that did reach out and gave us feedback.
Yeah.
That was very helpful.
Absolutely.
It was interesting. I was kind of talking to somebody about the podcast, and then they had asked me, like, when I joined the podcast. And it was funny because I started looking through the episodes, and I remember the first one, which mm-hmm. is the one that initially got me in trouble, was the baptism one. You know, we were talking about
you and me sitting here with
yeah.
the bad camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the camera
quality
was bad. The mic quality is bad. You have to like put it all the way up, and I still had to put it like close to my mm-hmm. to my ear to be able to hear, but. But yeah, that was the first episode, and I was kind of thinking about it because I went over like my Instagram, and Lord forgive me, but I forgot like what year I had gotten baptized, you know, like or baptized again, and it was on Resurrection Sunday, mm-hmm. and I was just kind of mulling it over and like That's having right. a moment with the Lord, and like I mentioned, you recently got baptized as well,
yeah.
And we were able to be witness and Andrew was the one who baptized you. And I'm actually glad that I was able to record that because, I listen to it every so often, to hear you explain like what baptism is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a beautiful moment.
No, it was something that was a long time coming. It was at first when we stepped out of our old church organization, that question came up, should I get baptized? Immediately I was like, no, it's not necessary. I understand that it's not necessary for salvation. You know, that was it, right? And then, you know, when you had talked about it, and then when you got baptized again, and you know, in the under the proper doctrine, under a proper understanding, and on Resurrection Sunday, like most appropriate time to do it, really. You know, it got me thinking, but every time I was just so quick to dismiss some of it for fear of backlash from some of our old friends mm-hmm. and family. Another one I didn't think it was necessary, but this was just me thinking it, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But after some careful studying and prayer and asking the Lord and seeking, you know, wise counsel, it became clear that this is a step that needed to be done. And here's the thing, when you obey God, like God does do something there because, and this isn't to say anything about me, but there was an impact to several other people that witnessed that baptism. We have our friend David, who has yet to be on this podcast, but you know, he reached out and he had some words to say about it, and it impacted him. Mm-hmm. Somebody else there got baptized that same day. They, you know, they heard the message, they heard your words, you know, they heard the testimony, and she decided to get baptized. A week or two later, one of the deacons there, same thing. He's like, I needed to be rebaptized, and same, you know, he had his own dealings with that, but that. When I got baptized, it helped him solidify that decision, be like, I need to get baptized. And this isn't to say that he needed to because he needed salvation, but no, it's a step of obedience. It's a proclamation of faith.
He was the one that got baptized as a Roman Catholic, right? Or no?
No. That was actually that gentleman.
Was the reason you got
it. Yeah, okay. It's one of the reasons that pushed me forward.
Yeah.
And then even more so, there was a coworker of mine who saw the mm-hmm. video that I posted on my testimony along with the baptism. And ever since then, he's kind of thrown a few questions here mm-hmm. and there, and we've been able to have some conversations, and we're slowly getting to a big conversation that I don't know when in God's timing, but it's there. There's a bridge that was built there. And all this just to point to Christ, yeah. like, if you know, if you understand something from the Bible and God leads you to some truth, some true doctrine from the Bible, go with it. Go follow it, believe it, trust in it, obey it. because God is going to bless it some way or another. Like you said earlier, God will receive the glory. And I really just wanted to point that out, and encourage anybody that might be listening that, you know, is reading or is studying or is having some kind of godly conviction, like follow through with it. I encourage it. Leave what you have to leave, leave the people you have to leave, leave whatever it is that you have to leave to follow Christ, because it is so, so much better, not only on this side of heaven, but, you know, there's treasures in heaven for it. And most importantly, you're going to be in eternity with the Father. You're going to, mm-hmm. you're going to be with the God that you know here on earth, the God that is talking to us about himself through scripture. Like, there's nothing greater.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, even if you're at the point where you're like, you've never been baptized before, because I was, but if you've never been baptized before, or you have, and you're struggling with that question, and seek God, and he will lead you and direct you exactly where you need to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're a Christian and you've never been baptized.
Oh, yeah.
Get baptized. It's as simple as that. A lot of people are like, well, I don't need to get baptized to be a Christian. Well, I would question if you're a Christian, if you choose not to obey one of the two sacraments that the Lord has left us with, mm-hmm. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, mm-hmm. right? Communion. So it's just, and I get it. You know, some people have questioned it. Some people don't do it because either they'll get cast away from their family. There are actual religions that will put you to death if you choose Christ over theirs. There are religions where it forces the family to disown you completely. I don't know if we have any of those in our audience. And if we do, we're praying for you. But if your options aren't that grave, or the consequences aren't that grave, get baptized. Yeah. You know, it's a step of faith. Like you said, it's a proclamation of faith in front of witnesses and that's the other thing that I appreciated when I got baptized, is that I got baptized in front of witnesses, and that gives them in the way that I look at it, it's like, or when I witnessed your baptism, it gives them, the witness, the responsibility to hold you accountable mm-hmm. in your walk in Christ, and why it's important to have witnesses there, right? Even if it's just the person baptizing you, right? I mean, that's one person. But the more people there that you can trust fully with your faith, with your soul, to keep you accountable, the better. And that's who we are as a family. I don't know if it was last Sunday or the Sunday before. I think it was last Sunday. I shared a small part in our church. One of the parts is like, we share a quick word from the Bible, and then we pray over the congregation. And I was talking to them about it was James 5:16. Actually, let me pull it up real quick. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much."
Hmm.
And I was sharing that the week before. I was talking to two individuals, two young people, and really, what that conversation turned into. Now, it wasn't two at the same time; it was two different times. But really, what those conversations turned into is me calling them out on their sin.
Mm-hmm.
They were seeking counsel for some of the stuff that was happening, and we got down to the nitty gritty of it, right? So I shared that with the church, and I said, if we're a church and if we're a family, we should be able to confess our sins to one another. I should be able to go to you, Andrew, and say, this is what I'm struggling with, right? I'm struggling with X, Y, and Z. Although I'm struggling with this, LJ, whatever. I have a group of people that I fully trust that if I come to them, they are going to hold me accountable. They're going to call me out on my sin. Not only that, but they're going to follow up with me to see how I am, see how I'm doing, if I'm still struggling, if they can pray for me, help me in whatever way. Yeah. That's who we are as a church. And we should be praying for each other diligently, right? And it says the prayers of a righteous person can accomplish much. Not because we're righteous or we're some holy person, the Lord is going to change his mind about something, right? If God has chosen to work through our prayers in his sovereign will, that is how he has chosen to bring about a deliverance, liberty, a miracle, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That is how God has chosen to work about. We're not righteous on our own, right? We understand that we are made righteous by the perfect work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the work that he did on the cross, his life, his death, his resurrection. And I was actually sharing this with our Connect group that my wife and I are leaders over, where we were talking about like this year that's coming up. You know, everybody has New Year's resolutions, New Year, New Me. Everyone has different things that they want to do. Some people want to lose like 100 pounds. I want to lose like 100 pounds, but I'm not setting any kind of resolution to do it. Right? If I don't set any goals, I can't disappoint myself.
There you go. That's how you want to. That's how you want to go.
Trajectory.
Yeah.
But Pastor Steve Kovac actually was talking about the difference between a resolution and a revolution, where he was saying a resolution is something you want to do. A revolution is something you actually do, right? So we're talking about resolutions and what we're going to set out to do. But in reality, I said, our aim is to do what? And our aim as Christians is to reach glory, right? I think that is the aim for every Christian, is to please God and reach glory. And we were talking about Paul and how he was saying, if anyone can boast about anything, it's me. I'm a Jew of Jews. I follow the law, circumcised, did all this great stuff. But I count it all as garbage.
Yeah.
I count all my deeds as complete, or everything that I've worked for as complete garbage, to know Christ and know and the power of his resurrection. Like I toss everything out. I don't know how else to explain it. Everything you do in this life is complete garbage. Why? Because the one work that amounts to the greatest thing ever was the work of Christ here on this earth. What he did, he fulfilled the law. He accomplished it. He completed it. He did it all for. And when he said it is finished, that meant it's completely done. We have no part whatsoever to play in our salvation because he did it all. And all we have to do is believe in him. Of course, then the conversation continues. I mean, if we were to die right there as soon as we believe, great, perfect. But sanctification comes into place.
Yeah.
And we actually did a video on that.
Sanctification? Right?
Sanctification.
Yeah.
So I'll end it there because if I can keep talking, I'm gonna talk forever.
I'll make two quick points. The Bible knows nothing of an unbaptized Christian. It was the earliest, soonest, most immediate step that anyone that puts their faith in Christ would be called and expected to do.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be something that they would resist in any way, shape, or form, especially in that culture, because symbolism was incredibly important, as it is now, except we just don't find symbolism as prominent now because everyone's unsure of themselves. They're not sure if the relationship's going to work. They're not sure if they're ready to commit to this job. They're not sure, so they don't really put it on their Facebook yet. They don't put the ring on. They don't go through the ceremonies. Like, we're just a really unsure people that are always trying to wait till everything's entirely perfect until we can say, this is it. It's a pretty terrible way to live because you literally live out the commitment without ever proclaiming the commitment. So that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is you proclaim him because you name him and you confess him before people, or else if you are scared of confessing him, even if there's a death threat, then you are within that realm of possibility where Christ will not confess you either. not because you didn't become a Christian, but the sign of someone that's not willing to confess Christ is more a sign of them not being a Christian than it is a sign of them just being a little bit afraid. Mm-hmm. It is more likely that not confessing Christ openly is a sign of your unChristianity than it is about your immature Christianity. So when you have the Holy Spirit work in your heart and you believe the living King of Kings that you didn't believe before and you can't help but gravitate towards in life, morality, and action, with that comes confession, praise, repentance, and it's just a natural Spirit wrought work in your heart. If that is not happening at all, there's a big question mark whether or not you're actually a Christian.
Yeah.
So yeah, point on that. Oh, and also, you said something about, what was the last point you made before you canceled? Resolutions. I would say, as far as resolutions go, I guess it's like a mental commitment or an aspiration to what you'd want to do, and revolution is you actually, you know, taking the reins and getting it done. I'd recommend anyone that has not ever read the 70 Resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. Incredibly motivated man right there, Jonathan Edwards. Those resolutions would probably get you depressed if you actually try to accomplish them, because they're basically impossible, but they're great aspirations, and especially some of them are really like, wow, like I could really stand behind this aim. Some of them will like make you like a ball of anxiety if you actually try to follow that every second of your life. So Jonathan Edwards was an anxious man as well. But he had some really great resolutions, and they're really popular, well-known, the 70 resolutions. So I would recommend just read through them. It won't be hard to read through them. They're like 70 things that he wrote, I think, when he was like 17 years old or 18. I have to check on it. When did he write it? Wow. But he was like an aspiring theologian at that time, and he just wrote these magnanimous statements of intention in his faith and life.
At 17 years old?
I believe he was 17.
What were we doing at 17 years old, Carlos?
We thought that we were going to call fire down from heaven.
That is, that's accurate. We're going to call down fire from heaven and wake up the dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he was 19 there. I had.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense. We were spiritually mature by that time,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, we were good.
No, we weren't.
It's kind of crazy to think about, right? If you look at, you know, someone like him at the age of 19 versus us at the age of 19, or anybody, any young person now and in their young adult life, it's like very, very different,
yeah,
aspirations. And, you know, for one, it's encouraging for me now at my age at 32 to, like, wow, he did this at 19. Like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, God has put me in a place where I can definitely, you know, maybe I won't do something as like him, write 70 different resolutions, but I can definitely reach out to some people. Yeah. You know what I mean? That are near me. But, you know, it's like one of the things, because, you know, I serve in the youth ministry. It's like, how do you encourage this generation to look towards God when there's everything else around them telling them and all this is better than God?
You have to preach the gospel while doing Fortnite dances and sending appropriate reels.
So we serve in our young adults ministry, right? Uh-huh. We help over them. And I told them, anytime we come and meet, remember these two words: wretchedness.
Oh my goodness.
And fire. You're wretched. And if you don't, yeah, go to Christ, you're going to face fire.
That's good.
So every time we meet, it's like wretchedness and fire, right?
That's great. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
That's how you,
that's
you
how
them. You that's, scare them into the.
That's right. That's, that worked healthy out perfectly for tactics. Us. That worked out perfectly
for us. They need to
us.
Be afraid, yeah, as they're experiencing the peace that surpasses all understanding. Yes. They, yeah, need to be completely terrified.
Yeah.
That's it.
And the thing is, like, even some young kids are not afraid.
No, they're not afraid because there's a lot of arrogance and boldness in this generation, at least what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm coaching U12 soccer, and I got these kids, I got this mouth on them. And I'm like, I don't need you to, like, I'm not your overlord. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to whoop you. I'll whoop my kids. But it's like, I don't need to make sure, like, you're like a straight squared away cadet. But, and I don't care for the title of coach. It's new to me. So when they say coach, I'm like, I'm not even responding yet. They got to like yell at me, coach, six times before I'm like, oh, wait, that's me. But some kids are like, yeah, bro, whatever. I'm like, did you just call me bro? Like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, dude, you shouldn't talk to adults that way. Like, I'm nothing. Don't worry about me. But it's like, you really need to figure some things out. So I'll make that kid run laps. But it's like, I see this like utter disregard for authority or proper respect for the elders. I don't think a kid even knows what it means to stand up for your elders. I don't know what it means to, I don't think anyone knows that in some situations you wait for the woman to stand before you stand. Like, I don't think they even understand the basics of that, like respect. But it's probably happening because, you know, there's a lot of women that pretend they're men now and men pretend they're women. So we don't even know what gender is anymore. So all of that is kind of mixed in. But at the same time, there's this real resilience to authority, proper respect. And that's the generation we're dealing with. So when I read the Bible and I see that they're saying the love of people will grow cold towards one another and children will send their parents to be put to death, whatever that might amount to, whether it's they confess that they're Christians and it's in a hostile nation where they get put to death, whatever it is, it's like I can see that. Before I wouldn't be able to see that, but now I can see it. I'm like, in the attitude of children nowadays, 10-11 year olds, the worldly attitude, I'm like, I can see those kids utterly hating their parents and wanting the worst for them. I can see them literally just being malicious towards others in a way that I didn't see when I was my age. I was bad when I was my age.
Yeah.
But most kids weren't acting like that. Nowadays, everyone's acting the way I did. I'm like, I'm terrified for them because it's dangerous.
I think we could. I think this is definitely a subject to cover and maybe later on down the year.
Yeah.
But one thing that I see the problem of that, I think, stems from the lack of a good biblical man, real man. I know we did an episode on being a man, and it's like it has nothing to do with like being macho and like, you know, iron fist. No, it's everything to do, you know, with honoring God as a man in the role that he has put us in. And that role is for us to step up. A man who is the head of the house, or, you know, like you say, el hombre de la casa, as we say in Spanish, you know, the man is the head of the house. And he leads his family, he leads his children, he leads his wife. And at least in this country, we've seen such a decline of a man in the house for decades now. And I think we are seeing the result of that in these kids that have just this utter lack of respect for grown adults, you know, even grandparents, this lack of respect to authority. And it's really sad. I think these are the effects of that, of just the lack of men stepping up. You know, it was so easy for men to walk away from families and from their children and fatherless homes, you know. And it's just so destructive to society, and nobody sees it that way. And now it's such a normal thing. Oh, you didn't have a dad. Nah, neither did I. We do whatever we want. Yeah. You know, mom's out at work or whatever, and the house is left to the children. The children, what do? They're on the internet all day. And see, now I sound like super old, but it's true though. You know, that you got, you know, kids, they say so much online, they don't know how to actually speak to each other in person, and they just talk to each other in memes, you know, or they talk to other adults in the same manner. But again, I really do believe it stems back to the lack of real men in today's society. And there's a biblical remedy for that. But again, that's going to require for real Christian men to go out there with the gospel.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we're going to fix society. I don't think we ever will. Everything's going to be in a decline as we, you know, as we're reaching end times, as I believe. But anyway, real Christian men, go out there, preach the gospel, and be a man. Be a man, a biblical man in your family, in your household, and even in your singleness. Be that representative of God. If you don't have a family, if you don't have kids, even better, just represent God. Be an example. Somebody will see that and be like, why are you so different? Mm-hmm. And that opens up a door to present the gospel, and real change might happen. But yeah, yeah, that's yeah.
Don't check what the weather is online. Go outside and find out. Be a man.
Be a man.
Don't call in sick. Die at work.
Be a man. Be a man. Had some good memes this past year. Yeah, absolutely. Be a man. I mean, we could definitely do a series on that. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be a man? We did a biblical masculinity, but
yeah,
I think there's more we can touch on that.
Oh, definitely.
Be a man, be a woman, like whatever those actually mean.
Yeah.
I think we can definitely get some people in on that.
Oh, and definitely. Ruffle some feathers too.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, people's feathers need to be ruffled. You mm-hmm. know, Jesus didn't come to pat everyone on the back. He actually came with a sword saying, I'm going to cut you to pieces morally and show you how much your stuff stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And you too need to come to a repentant faith in me. So
exactly.
We're not supposed to be everyone's best friend in the way that the world says a best friend would be. Supportive, raising the same banner, no questions, no judgment. We're supposed to be the true friends that come and say, you're sick, you're mm-hmm. pale, you've got a cough, you need this medicine, go check this doctor.
Yeah.
Because if we do anything otherwise, we're basically saying, you're dying and come, let's hang out. It's like, yeah, no, you're dying. You need medicine.
Yeah.
So,
well, Jesus hung out with sinners, mm-hmm. you know, all the time, but there was absolutely no confusion about who he was. Like, nobody ever right. confused him for a sinner just because he hung out with them. Like, people would question, like, why, you know, this guy's a righteous person. Why is he hanging out with the gunk of the world, mm-hmm. right? So that's what we should be as Christians. Like, yeah, go and hang out with your friends, but there should never be any confusion about who you are.
Yeah.
Like, you should never allow them to drive you as a Christian. You should be driving them, right? Like, I was actually watching, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the show Young Sheldon.
Yeah, my wife loves it.
Yeah, it's really, really funny, and it actually makes me want to watch the Big Bang.
You're gonna show. Have to. There's a lot of innuendo you'll have to overlook, and
yeah,
so I wish you could just cancel that on shows.
I didn't when it initially came out. Like, I didn't really catch it, not catch the innuendos, but I didn't really catch why it was funny. Mm-hmm. To me, it was kind of boring, but maybe. I thought the same about The Office back in the day. Now I like the show, so I might give this one a try just because of Young Sheldon. Anyway, I was watching an episode, I think it was today or yesterday, and I was kind of like looking at the kids and how they're like misbehaving, and how the mom was telling the dad like do something,
yeah.
but the dad like he's literally always has a beer in his hand and he's sitting and watching TV.
He's like the Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
Attitude.
Yes.
Like, exactly. He's a dumb doesn't.
I
really
think there was like one time where he like stood up to some dude and punched him in the face because yeah. he was like a drunk stepdad or something. But the most of the show, he's just there. Like, he's just a body. He's just making money. He's just like a slob, you know, yeah. like sitting in front of the TV with a beer in his hand. And that's exactly what's wrong
yeah.
with homes. Is one, either the man walks away because they don't want to accept the responsibility, or they're just walking dead.
Yeah.
You know, they're literally a walking dead person.
Yeah.
You know, sorry.
No, go ahead.
There's an interesting, I don't know if it was an article or I saw something, but it's like the dads in the shows of like the 80s and 70s, they were there. They would go to their son's game and give him a pep talk,
yeah.
or they'd pull him aside in the living room and said, hey son, let's have a talk. And they would talk it out. And I don't know what happened in the 90s, but all the dads became like Homer Simpson, or like the guy you're mm-hmm. talking about.
Yeah.
Something happened. There's something off there where dads were like what they were supposed to be in shows to, they're just the laughing stock.
I right. think it would be good to find out, like, is that always a representation of the society, or to what degree does that actually influence the society?
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Because I can't say that every show influences the whole society, because not everyone watches it.
Right.
But the fact that in many shows, there's a disrespect towards the man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's in the time of feminism. It actually just started booming in that direction. feminist movement started exploding and the shows started going in that same term. The woman is like the leader of the home. She's got the loud voice. The man's like the slob and he like waits till the wife lets him yell at the kids. And it's pretty dishonorable to the entire family unit. But I'd be intrigued to find out like what really started first. Did it start falling apart of the family before the shows began mocking it? Or did it start happening in the shows and then people started following? I'd like to say the former, like I believe it took place in society, less God, like more godlessness, the more feminist kind of movement taking place, more atheism kind of raising up in the ranks, philosophy taking over, people like becoming a post-Christian nation, even though America was never truly a Christian nation. But there's this post-Christian aspect where it's like, you know, that's the old stuff. We don't do that anymore. We're doing this new stuff now. Yeah. So... yeah, I see that as well. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think shows always follow like what's in.
Yeah.
You know, and that was in. The man just wanted to go to work, wanted to come home and not be bothered. Mm-hmm. You know, they worked.
Bunch back, of lazy I bums. Mean,
yeah, back then, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 hours, you know.
Yeah. So there's probably a cause to that.
Right.
Yeah.
All they wanted to do was come home. They were being yelled at by the boss all day. They wanted to come home and not get yelled at. So they just like left everybody alone. Yeah. I'm grateful, honestly, that I was raised by a man who took his job seriously. He whooped me when I needed to be whooped. He loved me when I needed to get loved. You know, he told me that he was proud of me. He told me he loved me. Before he whooped me, he would tell me why he was going to whip me. And then he always used the term, "This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you." I don't think so, because I can't sit on my bum for the next 2 days, you know? Sometimes I think he enjoyed it a little too much. There was a little one too many hits every time.
Was there ever like a smirk? It
accumulated each time.
There was this meme of, they caught this police officer. It looked like it was in Mexico, because I think he had a Mexican police badge. And they caught him like in the middle of a swing with a baton in a riot. And I guess like they caught him in a moment when he's like smiling. So it... like perfect smile, and the meme says something like, "Love your job as much as this man loves his." I'm like, he's about to beat someone, and he's like, it looks like he's like in the craziest joy ever. I'm like, getting paid for this guy is really excited.
That was Carlos's dad.
That was dad. That was Papa Carlos.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's good that we're on this topic a little bit, because another thing that I've observed, right. And something, cause I had the privilege of officiating my brother's, wedding this past year. Yeah. So it was really wonderful to study into like the men and the women and then just seeing it in person. Right. Cause there's something about, the reason why God sets the man as he does and the woman as he does, cause there's this incredible balance that benefits the child, you know, because at the end of it all, you know, it's about raising the child, you know, as a man and as a woman. And it's like I've seen you and your wife, right? The way you guys deal with your kids, you come in like, hey, do this, do that. You know, you come in, not saying that you're not loving, but your kids need the strictness and the, like, you guys need to follow this way, you know. Yeah. That way they're not so unruly. But then in comes your wife, and you know, and she'll grab Joe and like caress him and be like, oh, it's okay, mijo, or whatever. And I just think it's a wonderful thing to see, because it's healthy for the child to have both, you know. Because if it's too much one way or too much the other way, the child, you know, unfortunately is going to suffer.
I would add that like a biblical man has a really good balance of both, because that's absolutely what, like, yeah. I said, that's what I've seen with my father. That's what I've seen with you. Like, when you're like with Adelie, with Annalise, with Joe, where you love having fun with them. They know it's not like they question it. They know you love them, but they also know you're going to discipline them.
Yeah.
When they need correctness. And that's the same way that I was with my father. There was absolutely no question about whether he loved me or not, even when he would discipline me. Like, I knew he loved me. My father and I share a really special bond, and we're like...
Yeah, you guys have the same first name.
Yeah, and last name.
That too.
Must be confusing.
Yeah, sometimes. When I like get stuff mailed, because I mail all my stuff to his house, because I live in the hood and it'll get robbed. It'll get stolen. So when I mail my stuff, like, I always have to put Junior in the name. Otherwise, he's like,
Oh, more stuff for me.
He sends me a picture of like open boxes. So I always put Junior.
You should like mail him a bunch of these kinds of books.
Senior, just put Senior.
Yeah, he doesn't read. I'll send him videos because he'll watch videos, but he doesn't read. But there was no question about it. You know, like we're best friends. We're legit best friends. But even now, as I'm older, I still go to him for counsel. Mm-hmm. You know, he still corrects me when he needs to. Like, hey, you're messing up here. Hey, what's going on? You seem a little down. You've seemed down every time you come visit. And he's just that, again, perfect balance of love and correctness. You know, now when he hits me, even now, it's
like, I'm like, wait a minute.
What? I don't think that should still be happening. Wait, what do you need to be hit for? What are you
still taking cookies from the cookie jar? Like,
sometimes I'm like, and as soon as I walk in, whoosh.
He's just trying to claim you on his taxes. If he's, still hitting you. He's like, I heard it's $3,600 this year per child. I gotta whoop you and make sure I can still claim you. It's dependent.
But yeah, it's a wonderful thing to see both mom and dad in the home.
Yeah,
and the way it benefits a child.
Yeah,
it's great.
I'm broken over the idea that some families are inadvertently put in the position to not have both, not in a destructive, self-destructive, immature, foolish, arrogant, unloving, unforgiving way where people break up for stupid, unreasonable reasons, or they're not willing to forgive where they physically could. Mm-hmm. They're so easy to look to the next person.
Yeah.
It's like the fact that people don't see the damage they do to the family because they're teaching their children what a family and marriage is when they split and break and go in different directions and they mistreat one another in front of the kids. Like they're teaching what marriage is. So that child's going to grow up to some degree affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're put in that position because of a death, of a horrible tragedy that takes place, of a crazy work situation that sends one parent in that direction and they just can't get the child out for some reason, and they have to stay and parents are in separate positions. That's my heartbreak in a special way. Because I'm broken over the brokenness. But I'm also broken over like the, I couldn't stop this and I wanted to stay together, but mm-hmm. he died or got sick or something happened. And it's like, I'm disappointed because you're just seeing all of that kind of build into the world now. The family unit is completely re-identified.
Yeah.
I mean, we got what was it in Australia? I think it's Australia. There was this big thing. It's funny, you know, honestly, if you think about it, like the world knows that they're doing something new and weird and exciting because they make headlines about stuff. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be a headline like, hey, a couple got married. There's no headline there unless something weird happened. So they had a headline like three dads adopted two boys or one or two boys in Australia. So they got a threesome going on there and they're adopting one or two boys. That family's going to be screwed up from the roots up. Like mm-hmm. they don't understand what marriage is. They don't understand what parents are. Excuse me. It doesn't matter if they are feminine in their demeanor, these men, they're men.
Mm-hmm.
You're not full of estrogen. You could pump yourself full of it, but you're not full of estrogen. So you're not going to come in as mother hen and do a mother's duty. You can try, but you're not mom. And there is no mom. And these kids are going to be raised with this as an idea of family. Now, loving the people that are taking care of you is one thing. But understanding what the family's supposed to be, that's a different thing. Mm-hmm. So these kids are going to grow up with a very skewed perspective.
Yeah.
So it's just like, that's headlines. So I think the world kind of knows.
Yeah.
We're weird. This is something to really highlight. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be if it was normal.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Maybe that's a future episode there.
Yeah, you get families, plenty of hate on that.
Yeah, families and
plenty of hate on that.
Definitely.
Absolutely. But yeah. Any final words before we close out?
Repent and believe the gospel.
Yes. So before your dying day, before tonight, if you listen or read, if you listen or watch this episode.
You could put captions.
You can. consider The most important thing that could ever happen in your life is have a repentant faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way unto the Father favorably and with a forgiven status than through the life, death, and actual resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you don't have him as your Christ and you're not following him in life, in practice, as the Bible has prescribed, truly from the heart, then question where you stand with God, because the Bible certainly does. And it could be a dangerous next step for you into eternity if you are not resolved with him as your king. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time on the Milk and Meat Podcast. Because I be worried about your soul. Why you still be down and you got a soul? Like you need to see to believe these things, but you believe things that you've never seen. Like feelings and hopes and dreams, the future, emotions and gravity. And sadly, everything you're rejecting makes this whole life a tragedy.